I need to do anything?
It's going right now. Very good.
Good. If I can have your attention, we'll go ahead and get started with our program this morning. I want to welcome all of you to another meeting of the First Friday Breakfast Club, an association of gay and bisexual men and the largest private breakfast club in the state of Iowa, and we have been so since 1996. We have at this point raised and given away in scholarships to high school students more than $250,000. The beauty of that program is not in the amount of money that we have raised, or the recognition that it gives the students, although those are both impressive and important. The beauty of the program is that it buys a ticket to high school graduations all over the state of Iowa, where people like us go to present the scholarship award in front of audiences that think they've never seen a real live gay person before. The anecdotes that have come back from those experiences have been heartwarming, including standing ovations in little Podunk Center, Iowa communities. It's been a remarkable thing, and I think it makes a difference. I want to welcome also particularly those who are here for the first time. So if there are those who are here for the first time, would like to stand up and give their name, that would be appropriate. Anyone here for the first time that wants to do that? Yes.
I'm Dean Huntley, I'm from Nevada.
Welcome. Others? Well, I want to call special attention to one other person who is here, not for the first time, but Austin Frericks. Austin, would you stand? Austin is a Democratic candidate for Congress from the 3rd District against Congressman Young. So. Our current congressman is just named Young. His replacement could actually be Young. And we want to wish you well with your campaign. A number of announcements before we get to our speaker. The book exchange is on the piano here in the corner of the room. I want to thank Scott Cucmio for coordinating that. I will also mention that he has been monitoring the books and has determined those that have not been particularly popular, and those have been given to Planned Parenthood. So that's, those that aren't too graphic. And we don't want to offend sensibilities of Planned Parenthood customers, but beyond that, he's put out some new books that may be of interest to you. So if you looked over the books before and didn't see anything of interest, you might find that a different experience now if you want to examine those books. Among the books that are currently in the collection and available to be borrowed without checking them out, without any obligation to return them, is, in fact, No House to Call My Home, which was written by the speaker who was here at our last meeting. I finished reading that and put it into the collection. It is excellent. Lots of interesting anecdotes. I did find one typo, which I circled. but you may find that of interest as well. Also in the collection is The Girl in Alfred Hitchcock's Shower, which has been reviewed by Steve Person in our newsletter just recently. So that is another one you might want to read. And with respect to most of the others, Alan van der Linden has read them all. And so if you are interested in a bit of a snippet or review, check with Alan and he can give you some insights about those books. If you're looking for other things to do, you can check out the FFBC website. That's ffbciowa.org. It is, I think, a worthwhile website and has a number of resources there, including audio recordings of our speakers. So if you have heard a speaker and want to hear them again, or you miss a meeting and would like to hear the speaker, you can go to our website and click on the speakers and you can see a picture of them, and you can also get an audio recording of their presentation. On the table in the foyer is a blank sheet of paper with lines that you can put the names of people that you think might be interested in First Friday Breakfast Club. If you identify someone that might be interested, we'll be glad to extend a personal invitation to them and encourage their participation. And let's see. Next Wednesday is our FFBC board meeting. That's the 6th of September. If members are interested in attending, you're certainly welcome to do so. The meeting will be at 6:15 next Wednesday at Scott and my home on the south side. Touch base with either of us for easy to find directions. Our newsletter copy is going to be a week from next Monday. This is irritating. A week from next Monday. So if there are those of you who are regular contributors, there's your reminder of when the copy deadline will be. If there are those of you who have something on your mind, or you've been on vacation and had some observations that you would like to share, I'm sure if it's something of interest to you, it will be of interest to others, and we'll get it in great shape and make you look really good if you'll just get us a rough draft of whatever you'd like to have in the newsletter. Some more. Let's see. On your tables, there is a flyer about the gala prom that is coming up for GLBT plus allies. It's going to be on September the 8th from 8 to 10 o'clock, 500 East Locust. Tickets are between $20 and $150, so there's a wide range to fit your budget. And the event is being sponsored for the sake of the Matthew Shepard Scholarship Program. Also, I might just mention, many of you are acquainted with Donna Redwing. She's been here to speak. She was for a long time the head of One Iowa, and she was not feeling well a couple of weeks ago and went to the doctor, and they hospitalized her and have determined that she has cancer in her liver and her lungs. And so she is on another campaign, she's used to those, and is planning to fight that. And if there are those of you who would like to send good wishes to her, if you'll get them to me, I will forward them to Eichner, and Eichner will get them to her and to her wife. So anyway, she is undergoing chemo right now, and she is still in the hospital. Next, also on your tables are some flyers about the fundraiser on September the 14th at Wakanda Golf and Country Club, and it is a flyer to support Senator McCoy's re-election bid. Also on September the 9th, that's a week from Saturday, there's going to be a pros party. I'm announcing that not only for all of you, but also for John Schmaker to remind him that it's going to be at his house. And and he has some yard work and some lighting to work on, and I didn't want him to have to do that last minute. That's at 3724 Hunter Avenue here in Des Moines, 7 to 10 o'clock on September the 9th. There are myriad prime timer of Central Iowa activities. I counted up, I think there are 17 planned for the month of September alone. There is a little of something for everybody. You can access Primetimers of Central Iowa online, or you can contact them, primetimersiowa@gmail.com, for the activities. Their newsletter is accessible online as well, to find out any number of activities that might be of interest to you. And with that, I will turn to Brad Holland, who's going to introduce our speaker this morning. Brad.
Happy birthday, Brad.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we'll see, John. You are not forgetting things. Thank you. Thank you. So, good morning. Our speaker this morning is Michelle Book. She is the CEO and president of the Food Bank of Iowa. The Food Bank's mission is to provide food for Iowa's children, families, and seniors so that they may lead full and active lives, strengthening the communities in which they live. The Food Bank serves 55 counties in Iowa's Central Corridor and Southeast Corner. Michelle's goals include improving quantity, efficiency, and the nutrition of these distributions. Prior to this current position, Michelle most recently led the community and academic relations for DuPont Pioneer. In this role, she was responsible for global corporate social responsibilities, including philanthropic giving, community betterment, employee engagement, academic outreach, and the management of university relationships for Pioneer. Now, it even gets busier here. Michelle serves on the following local boards and councils: Bravo Des Moines, the Des Moines Botanical Garden, Brenton Arboretum, Mainframe Studios, Greater Des Moines Community Foundation Grant Committee, and Grandview University President's Advisory Council. She is a member of the Des Moines Noon Rotary, Nexus Executive Women's Alliance, and the Powwow Speakers Club in Des Moines. That one sounds fun. And she was honored to be recognized as the Des Moines Women of Influence recipient in 2014. In addition to all that blistering schedule and activities, she finds time to be at the pool with Joe and I and her grandson Jackson sometimes. And then Michelle is originally from Jefferson, resides here in Des Moines now, and holds a Bachelor's of Business Administration degree with an emphasis in accounting from Iowa State University. She is a certified public accountant, a certified internal auditor, and her career has spanned the areas of hog farming, healthcare, finance, and business management. In her free time, which must be rare, she enjoys sharing great food with interesting people, relaxing with yoga, and recreating in nature. So please join me in welcoming Michelle Book.
Thank you. Thank you for welcoming me here today. When my communications manager set this up, he said, "You're going to speak to an all-men's breakfast club, and this is your chance to meet a new fellow and maybe have a date on Saturday night." I'm going to have to...
You're lucky, your communication.
Yeah, I'm going to report to him that I struck out on that date offer. But I am open to whatever you guys might come up with. That bio is a little old. I've just dropped off the Bravo board. I was the president of Bravo for a couple of years. And I have come on the Des Moines Human Rights Commission. I'm a Des Moines Human Rights Commissioner appointed by the mayor. And Donna Redwing has been our chairperson on that commission. So you mentioned some of the things she's doing. She was doing even more. And I want you to know that she's very vocal at every one of our meetings. About this community. Well, yeah, you know Donna. You know Donna. But I don't know a kinder soul and someone who fights harder for this community than Donna Redwing. And so she's in my prayers, and I know yours as well. So all of that bio was true. I've got a resume that's similar to Joni Ernst, but I never thought about publishing that. I know how to cut hogs, and I wore bread sacks, but you put them inside your boots, not outside. I don't want to offend anybody, but that's where the Republicans get things wrong. So I have been at Food Bank of Iowa for 18 months, and I come from 30 years of corporate browbeating into nonprofit world. And my corporate experience, I think, has served me well. I come with quite a bit of business acumen into the nonprofit world. I will say, yesterday I was speaking at Pioneer to 50 people at Pioneer on the day that Pioneer would no longer exist. Yesterday, Pioneer, it's done. Today, it's something else. And so that was poignant. And I used to give money. You gave that long speech about what I did at Pioneer. I just gave their money away. I gave away Pioneer money back when they had a budget to do so. And the focus, when I went in, Paul Schickler said, figure this thing out. We have no focus and no parameters. How should we be giving our money away? And so I spent a good amount of time talking to people in the community and talking to the leaders at Pioneer. And we decided, you know, Pioneer, we feed the world. We ought to be helping folks in the realm of food insecurity. And so we published white papers and we did all this stuff focused on food insecurity. And I was flying to India. And if anybody wants to talk about that experience sometime, that was a life changer. But going to India to remote villages, talking to people that are of the lower backward caste, when all the women in that village want is a light bulb so they can teach their children to read at night after they're done with work, and a covered toilet so they're not violated when they go to the restroom. I'm going to Mexico and working in the dumps outside of Puerto Vallarta. How many of you have been to Puerto Vallarta? Isn't it a beautiful place? I could go and not come back. But a few miles south of that is a huge dump where the hotels take all of their mattresses and all their aluminum and cans. And there's a village built where people live in little spaces constructed out of bed springs. So their little hut is the size of the length of a mattress. And all the mattress stuffing has been torn apart. And they have stuffed cardboard pieces between bare mattress springs. And that serves pretty well until it rains. And then that's like a snafu. You gotta pull all the cardboard out and find new cardboard. But they live off of scavenging out of the dumps every day. So I was traveling around the world trying to figure out where Pioneer had a site. How do we help them with food insecurity? And all the while, this whole time, the Food Bank of Iowa sat just a few miles from DuPont Pioneer's headquarters in Johnston, and I had no awareness. I did not know it was there. They had never come to Pioneer to ask for money. I did not seek them out. And so when Sukaradia texted me from the Nationwide Jet about 2 years ago saying, they need a new executive director of the Food Bank of Iowa. Are you interested? I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. He texted back and he said, I told them that you're interested and I'll give you a call. What the heck? So when my job was eliminated at Pioneer, just a few months later, this seemed like nirvana. And I have since come to know Food Bank of Iowa quite well. And to come to better understand their mission. And it is one of fighting hunger and feeding hope. So usually I work off of a PowerPoint, but you guys just get to see me today and not PowerPoint slides. How many of you have been to the Food Bank of Iowa? Anybody? Thank you. And Matt, you're a good friend, thank you. And to others, I would like to propose to you in November or September that you consider having breakfast club at my house. I've already done the lawn and the lighting, so I'm... but I would invite you there. I would love for you to see it. The Food Bank of Iowa is a warehouse distribution business. This little girl from Jefferson, Iowa, runs a 45,000 square foot warehouse. I have four straight trucks with reefer units. I got so excited about that because I thought that meant marijuana. But it's not anything to do with marijuana, although we just killed a cannabis plant outside the back door that was about that tall. That broke my heart too. Our job is to collect food. Food banks started in the 1960s when a businessman from Arizona recognized that there's all this food going to the dumpster from grocery stores and manufacturers over here, and over here are all these people that are hungry. And you don't have to be in China or Mexico to be hungry. You can be hungry right here in our own backyard. And it's great to go to Africa and help people, but there are people here to help. And this man from Arizona realized that we have people right here in the United States that need our help. So he started the first food bank. And then he went around the country prophesizing and talking other people into building food banks. So today, we collect a lot of food. We purchase food. We check it all for quality. And then we distribute it as quickly as possible to those in need using about 500 smaller frontline agencies. So some of our partners, we move 1 million pounds of food a month. I don't know, you might have consumed maybe 100 pounds of food this morning at breakfast. We move 1 million, well, not just you individually. I saw your plate. But 1 million pounds of food a month is a lot of food. Half of that, 500 million pounds of food a month, is donated to us from good people like you that do food drives personally or at your homes or at a football game or a garden party, but also partners like Barilla Pasta up by Ames are wonderful partners. They not only make pasta there, but they're also the Midwest distributor for all Barilla products, and we take full advantage of that. They're great partners. Walmart. Walmart has a national relationship with Feeding America. We are part of Feeding America. Feeding America is a 4-star charity, Navigator charity. It is the largest hunger fighting organization in the United States. And we are part of that network. There are 200 food banks that make up that Feeding America umbrella. We're one of 200 food banks across the U.S. So where there's a Feeding America national relationship, we benefit from that as well. So Walmart's a good partner, Target, Aldi. Anybody here work for Hy-Vee or have connection to Hy-Vee? I need your help. Because I cannot break into Hy-Vee. So if we can chat later. So we get half of the food is donated to us. 30% of the food has come to us from the United States Department of Agriculture. Next year, the Farm Bill. We need a new farm bill. The farm bill expires, we need a new farm bill. Matt, do you want to tell us what's going to happen next year? Yeah, I don't know either. But all of the food assistance programs that the government sponsors today run through the farm bill. The farm bill really wouldn't exist if it weren't for the nutrition programs in the farm bill. I didn't know this until I went to work for Pioneer. SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, that's now distributed via EBT cards, that's through the Farm Bill. WIC, Women, Infant, and Children, through the Farm Bill. Summer Food Service Program that feeds our kids when they're not in school, through the Farm Bill. The School Free and Reduced Lunch Program, Farm Bill. I don't know how many of you follow President Trump's tweets. And I don't want to out you here. You probably don't want to say if you do. He tweeted not too long ago that there's no evidence that feeding children improves their ability to learn. Let's move on from that. We are worried about getting that 30% of the food from the USDA going forward. And then 20% of the food we buy from donors, using donor dollars. And that money goes to buy food to load up trucks to drive to remote areas where there aren't existing food pantries, and also goes to buy backpacks for children. We distribute about 6,000 backpack inserts for kindergarten through fifth grade students, those that are deemed to be most chronically hungry. 6,000 of those every Friday during the school year, and it's about a fourth of the need. Food insecurity is pervasive. Anybody want to guess how many in the United States suffer from food insecurity? Is it 5 million?
More.
10 million?
More.
15?
20.
42 million people in the United States suffer by food insecurity. Now, the definition of food insecurity is having access to enough food at all times to live a healthy, active life. That's the definition. So these people aren't starving. I will tell you that I met with a Mercy executive not too long ago, because I'm thinking, as seniors are discharged from the hospital and food may have a negative outcome on their ability to recover, shouldn't we send them home with food? And this executive at the hospital, and I shouldn't have said which hospital, but this executive said, well, they don't need more food, they need to be on a diet. These people are obese. I'll tell you another story. A few months ago, I had 22 Fairway managers at my food bank. All men, by the way. That's another story. But 22 of them, and I said, okay, I'm a single mom, I have two small children, I have $10 in my pocket and 3 days until payday, what do I buy? And in unison, as if they were a choir, they said, ramen noodles. Now, if any of us lived off of ramen noodles, we'd be obese too. So in Iowa, 1 in 8 Iowans are affected by food insecurity, 1 in 5 children. The Iowa Society of Adolescent Psychiatrists and Sociologists did a study in 2014. Mental health illness in children is more closely tied to food insecurity than it is to their parents' education level, than it is to their parents' income level. 1 in 5 children today are food insecure. Food insecurity is closely tied to mental illness. How good is our mental illness care in the United States today? Let's fast forward 10 or 15, 20 years. What kind of a society will we be living in then? If I'm scared of going to Jordan Creek to a movie today, what's this going to be like in 10, 15 years if we don't take care of these children? So what do these people look like? Okay, I gotta admit, I thought when we talked about people who are food insecure, I was thinking about a crack addict living underneath the bridge downtown. Truly, I'm thinking it can't be us. It can't be anybody like me. We did a study in 2014. Food insecurity in Iowa, they're predominantly Caucasian because that's our population. They have a high school education. They have a roof over their heads, a house or an apartment, and they have a job. These are the working poor. These aren't people that are lazy sitting home in front of their TV watching Oprah or smoking dope all day, although our cannabis plant is now gone. These are people trying to make ends meet. When I go to a mobile pantry, and I invite any of you to come with me, please come with me. But when we go out to a mobile pantry, people line up for 2 hours before we start to distribute food in all kinds of weather. And what I see mothers with small children, many of whom are not getting child support. I see people that are disabled. I see senior citizens with their walkers standing in line for 2 hours. Do you know how much money a senior citizen gets in support and SNAP benefits each month from the federal government? $16. $16. And very little support from Polk County because the red tape is just horrendous. We know our population is more likely to have health disease, diabetes, and to be obese. Because of the way they are forced to eat. Food insecurity in children, not only does it lead to mental illness, we know in the first 1,000 days that proper nutrition is necessary for the brain to form. If the brain doesn't form optimally, they don't learn as well. If they don't learn as well, they're not going to accomplish as much in school. If they don't accomplish as much in school, they're not going to get a great job. And the cycle of poverty just continues. Our area, what we cover, Food Bank of Iowa, it's 55 counties down the middle of the state and then over to Illinois. So we go all the way up to the very, up to Dickinson County and all the way down to Lee County. A lot of different culture in between, but we cover 55 counties. We have 30,000 square miles. We work with over 500 partner agencies and serve about 175,000 people every month. A few years ago, we were distributing about 200,000 pounds of food each month. And working in a warehouse that was set up 17 years ago, it was a beer distributor. The beer's gone, but the bar was still there when I showed up, but no beer. In the last couple of years, we have gone to 1 million pounds of food distributed a month. 200,000 was how the warehouse was set up. We're doing 1 million today. We know to fully meet that need, we need to be at 2 million. And that's a huge leap. So we are in the midst of a capital campaign right now. We're in the midst of a building renovation. We are renovating the office area right now. When we tore down the walls, they were full of black mold. The ceiling had leaked for so long. Asbestos where we didn't expect it, and a litter of dead kittens. Okay, now see, I say black mold, I get nothing. I say asbestos, I get nothing. I say dead kittens, and everybody, every time, every time. I have two cats at home. But with this building renovation, we know we need to be able to double our food distribution, go from 1 million pounds to 2 million. We need to triple our warehouse capacity to do that. And we can do that with the existing footprint. We don't have to add any square footage. We just have to reconfigure and be smart about how we use it. We want to quadruple volunteerism. If you've not volunteered at the Food Bank of Iowa, please come see me. My card is in these folders, so you can all get a hold of me. And my cell phone number is 515-238-1764. That's not on the card, but you can call me at any time for a date or to volunteer.
Probably the volunteer.
But you might have friends. You might have straight friends. So I'm going to conclude with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Any sociologists or psychiatrists in the group? So you know about Maslow and his 1943 doctrine on hierarchy of needs and how people succeed. And so it's a pyramid. You know, it looks like this. And up at the top is self-actualization. And I believe all of us in the room have achieved that. We are living pretty good lives, contributing greatly to society. Below that is self-esteem. Most of us have achieved that. I'm still working on it. Love and belonging. Okay, I am still working on that one. Safety and security. But at the very base of that pyramid, breathing. The ability to breathe. Water. Shelter. Clothing. Sleep. Last but not least, food. Food is right there with breathing and water and sleep. You can't survive without it. And I'm just going to say in closing, hunger is not an issue of charity. It's an issue of justice. What questions may I take? And you are a very brave young man to run for office. Thank you. Good question. I come from, I worked for John Deere for a number of years and then DuPont Pioneer. And we at both places love to say we feed the world. Now, when you drive down the interstate in Iowa, any direction, you see a lot of corn, a lot of soybeans, some alfalfa. Folks, that doesn't feed the world, that feeds livestock. We feed livestock. I was a hog farmer in my young adult career. I know exactly where that corn goes. And that kind of protein is very expensive. A lot of people, that's outside their realm of affordability to buy pork chops and ribeye. So we devote very little of our real estate to produce or to anything that directly benefits human beings. Yes, sir.
Who, you talked about the counties that you cover, and there's a map in Fuller, but who covers the other, like the eastern areas and western areas?
Thank you, that's a good question. I should have talked about that. So there's a little sliver you'll see in the map on the western, okay, I'm reversed. On the western, on your western side of the state, there's a little sliver over here. That belongs to the Food Bank of Nebraska that takes care of all of Nebraska except for Lincoln. And then over in your northeast corner of the state over here, there are four other smaller food banks. How this territory got decided or split up, I think it was like the land grab of the 1800s when everybody came west. I do not know how we ended up with these counties or they ended up with those counties. It's just been established. Now, I do know that Feeding America would like to see fewer food banks, bigger food banks, because the economy of scale, when we're purchasing food, right now, $1 donated, we can convert to 4 meals. And we base that on number of pounds per meals and what we can buy. But when you donate a can of green beans to us, versus when we buy a truckload, 22 pallets of canned green beans, big price difference. But we work with those other food banks. We have an association, a Food Bank of Iowa Association. We share loads, truckloads. We help one another. In Texas right now, there are 10 food banks in Texas, and there is a state association of food banks who's managing all the disaster recovery, and they all come together to help one another. Now, Houston's opened up again. I was just there last year. It's a wonderful facility. Houston's up, but the food bank in Beaumont is waterlocked. They're down. But they all help one another, and we do in the state of Iowa as well.
I think you might be able to help with an ongoing issue that I have between myself and my partner, Scott.
I don't like to get into personal things. I'm not good at that, you know. Okay.
One of the things that he reads is the best buy date that is on various things on our.
Is Scott in the room?
And he thinks it's there for a reason, and I say it's just there to sell more product, and it might not be best, but it's still edible. And we need a resolution of that so we know what we can say.
Scott, honey. How was that? All right. There is buy, best buy, yeah. Use buy, yeah. Die buy dates on these boxes. Everything that's donated to us goes through our volunteer room, and we have trained volunteers and software programs that they use to check everything. They look at every single item that goes through there. He's right. He's right. Scott, I hope you don't hate me. Now, I would say I helped a friend move and found canned goods that were 30 years old. That's pushing the line. But for the most part, there's wiggle room in those things. I opened up a bag of coleslaw this morning. The date was August 7th. I thought that was a little past its prime. But we do make sure everything that comes in the door is still edible. And we have access to manufacturers' websites where they tell the truth. And so we check everything. Yes, sir.
The amount of food that you distribute seems to be growing exponentially, but but the state's population isn't. Is the hunger problem getting worse?
Oh boy, you've caught me in something here. The Food Bank of Iowa was not in compliance for many years with the feeding requirements of our Feeding America network. Feeding America prescribes to each one of its member food banks the number of pounds which they need to deliver to each month per person in need in that county. And the Food Bank of Iowa had not been doing that. Exit old director, enter new director. So in the last couple of years, we've doubled our distribution, and that's why. We are just now at the minimum amount of pounds per person in need each month in each county, but we know we need to meet the full need, and that's where we get from 1 million to 2 million pounds. I thought somebody would be smart enough to ask that question.
So is your long-term goal to eventually end hunger in the state of Iowa, or to be taking in so many millions of pounds that you can supply these people forever?
My long-term goal is to get a date on Saturday night. I would like to say, sometimes I can't get through these things without crying. And that's not good to stand in front of people and cry, because I'm a really tough CEO bitch woman. I can do this. I would like to say we would end food insecurity. Now in the state of Iowa, our poverty, our unemployment is low. So everybody thinks this is great. Our unemployment is low. Our poverty rate fluctuates between 11 and 12%. That sucks, people. That really sucks. I'd like to say, and our food insecurity rate very closely mirrors poverty, that number, and it's a Feeding America estimate, but our food insecurity is right around that same number. I'd like to say we could get to zero, but it's not possible. I would be so happy if in my lifetime we could cut our food insecurity rate from 12% to 5%. But that's only going to work. We'll only get there if kids come out of high school, graduate from high school, and are either trained to go into a job that will pay a living wage, or they're ready to go to college. And this state has jobs for those young people that pay a living wage. And then the other thing, Matt's left, but he's already heard this. My politicians, I don't want them to work on raising money to feed people like some people in Polk County might be doing. I want them to work on affordable housing. Polk County in the last 10 years has only created 71 affordable housing units in Polk County. I want them to work on daycare issues. Today, if you've got a toddler and a baby, your daycare bill is the same as sending a freshman to Iowa State University. Same cost. I want them to work on access to mental health care and health care and transportation. DART goes broke in 5 years. If we don't fix DART, we're in trouble. So the people that work downtown at that new convention hotel that have to live out east or down south, if they don't have ability to get on a bus and get to work, that's more money. They either they're paying for transportation or they're paying for housing. The last thing people pay for is food. My goal is to meet the need today and every day. I'd like that need to decrease. Thank you for that good question.
Just a comment. I went to a conference not too long ago on seniors and gays. And one of the facts that was presented to us, which I thought was absolutely amazing to me, was that you had the average cost of living in Polk County, which they came up with as I think it was something like $1,450. Well, the average Social Security check for a senior person is $1,250. The people who are seeking help, the actual income they were having was less than $1,000. So here you have this cost of living in the seniors who are making, you know, a third of that or two thirds of that. And that, you know, and it seems to me like we are seeing a decrease in services for seniors, and possibly even worse under the present 45.
If you're old, Polk County is a tough place to live. I suggest you move to Dallas County. You'll fare much better. I have heard, I work with the home health care folks, and just finished a meeting with the home health care, VP of home health care at Unity Point, and they said applying for food assistance in Dallas or Warren or Marion counties, much easier than Polk. But again, Polk has huge numbers of people to deal with. And so maybe they can't afford as much assistance, so they just slow the process way down. The senior citizens, I worry about small children, and I worry about senior citizens because they don't have access, and they don't come out. They were so proud. Iowans are proud, and we don't ask. So I think this is the biggest exposure we have is in our senior population.
What's your relationship with Meals on Wheels and Meals from the Heart?
Meals on Wheels, Meals from the Heartland, DMAR, Concrete Polk County. We are, when I talk to my peers across the country, other CEOs of food banks, they marvel. They say, well, you've got the hugest proliferation of hunger fighting associations here in Iowa. And we do. So DMARC, I'll start with DMARC, Des Moines Area Religious Council. They centrally manage 12 of our pantries in Polk County. We have 39 pantries in Polk County. 12 of those are DMARC, and they make one food order from us for all 12 pantries, and then they distribute. So we, DMARC makes the order, they pick up the food, they distribute to their 12 pantries. The other 27 make their own orders, and we go directly to them. So they're a partner. Meals from the Heartland. Susan Bunce is the executive director of Meals from the Heartland. I worked on Meals from the Heartland when I was at Pioneer. Great organization. They package meals that are primarily, that are absolutely designed for disaster relief and disaster response in places other than the United States. And they distribute them through a really great entity in Missouri called Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope works with the Red Cross to get into these sites to get meals where they need to be. Now these meals are not, anybody had one?
Yeah.
Eaten it?
Thank you.
I try not to say that word from the podium, so thank you for saying that for me. They are not designed for our palate. So what we have been doing, we have been distributing those through our pantries because Meals from the Heartland will ask a corporation to pay for the supplies when they bring in a group of people for a team building operation, and then they end up with all these meals. So they do give us meals. They don't move. People do not take them off the shelves. They look very institutional. They taste institutional. But what we have started doing, we've worked with Iowa State University to create a recipe, and we use our volunteers, their meals, and we buy things to augment that macaroni and cheese, and like a can of chicken and Tone's seasoning mix and shelf-stable milk. And so we can take this little package and create six meals out of it. Now those do fly off the pantry shelves. And it's hard to explain this, but the people that go to the pantries, I was just in Storm Lake talking to the woman that runs the pantry in Storm Lake, and she said, our people can't make choices, and they're not gonna think about how do you take this bag of macaroni and cheese and make it something bigger and better. We have to do it for them. If there is this kind of green bean on the shelf and this kind of green bean on the shelf, she said, they can't choose. Many of these people, we have to do it for them. So we are working with Meals from the Heartland. We call it Unite to Feed, where we're putting these meals together. Meals on Wheels, we work with Meals on Wheels, and it's a good program. But again, for seniors, sometimes it's cost prohibitive, and it's hard to get county support for that. Hunger Free Polk County is something else you've probably heard about. You're going to hear a lot about it. I think there's a big PR campaign that's coming out in September. That is Polk County supervisors, particularly John Morrow, really having a passion. And he is raising money himself that they are deciding, Polk County Board of Supervisors are deciding how to spend that just within Polk County to help just residents of Polk County.
It wasn't that long ago that state of Iowa returned 97% of the soil went into agriculture. I doubt that we're too far off. We're probably still over 90%. And whether they rank us on the amount of acres that we planted for corn and soybean, or whether it was the harvest, we go to places with Illinois being the number one state. So we're producing a fair amount of that corn and the soybeans. And although we may not be the top producer for cattle, pork, eggs, or chicken, we'll be in the top five consistently. So I think although we may not be the number one, probably production at that level for pork, beef, eggs, and chicken is why we're able to claim that we feed the world.
I have the good fortune to have a member of the Ross family who own Versova Eggs on my board. It is the largest egg producer in the state of Iowa, and Iowa is one of the largest egg producers. They deliver to us a truckload of eggs every month that we distribute out. I have a dream. I have a dream that our egg producers, our egg, the folks that process the product in the state of Iowa will someday call me and say, we